We, of course, invite you to come back and be with us every time you have the opportunity. People do what they want to do. People always ask, why? The answer is, because they want to. Generally speaking, it's because they want to. There's a hospital in New York City called Kane Summit Hospital, named after an accomplished surgeon by the name of Evan O'Neill Kane. On February the 15th, 1921, that sounds like a long time ago, 1921, Dr. Kane was performing a routine for him, appendectomy, in a hospital, in an operating room in that hospital. Not yet named for him. But this was rather routine. In his 30-year previous experience as a surgeon, he had performed over 4,000 of these kind of surgeries. The diagnosis was correct. Inflamed appendix. The appendix had to come out. It had to be removed. But this surgery was unique in two ways. Number one, it was the first time ever that a localized anesthesia was used to perform a major surgery. Dr. Kane was one of those. In fact, he was the primary one who was really promoting localized anesthesia over general anesthesia. General anesthesia, he said, carried with it a whole lot of complications and dangers that localized anesthesia would never bring. And his colleagues agreed with him, but they weren't going to be sold until there was a demonstration of it. And so they began to look for a volunteer, a patient who would volunteer to have surgery with just localized anesthesia. And it didn't seem like they were going to get any volunteers. But finally, a volunteer was found. February the 15th, 1921. The doctor's in the operating room. He's performing this appendectomy on this patient with localized anesthesia. First time ever in history. Now it's done that way. Routinely, it's done that way. This is the first time ever in history. I told you, though, that this was unique in two ways. The second thing that made this surgery unique was that Dr. Kane was the patient. He had administered the localized anesthesia himself. And now he was performing surgery on himself. People do what they want to do. Dr. Kane wanted to prove this. And when it meant that he had to be the volunteer, he did it. People do what they want to do. I want to tell you why I want to be a Christian. Then you'll have to answer the question for yourself. I'm just answering for me. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian, number one, because I don't want to go to hell. We're living in a culture today which says, oh, don't frighten anyone. Don't scare anyone. Don't talk to them about hell. Don't talk to them about avoiding it. After all, you don't want them just doing something because they're afraid of the consequences. Well, let them know. Folks, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and as I read about Christ and his teachings, he used the element of fear a lot of times. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 29, in encouraging people, urging people to avoid adultery, he said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is better for one of your members to be cast from you than for your whole body to be cast in hell. He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. For it were better for you to enter into glory halt, maimed, than to have your whole body cast into hell. In Matthew chapter 10, just a few chapters later, Jesus sends his apostles out, the 12, out just to the house of Israel, the lost of the house of Israel. He warns them, he tells them they're going to meet with difficulty and those kind of things. They're not going to be welcomed in some villages. They're even going to be called before the council and before the leaders. But he tells them, hey, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about them. It's in the context of that he says in verse number 28, don't fear what man shall do to you. Why should you fear him, which can just kill the body, but they can't touch the soul? Rather fear him, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So it's okay for me to fear going to hell. I don't want to experience it. I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. I don't like the description of the place. It's described as a lake of fire in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. After all nations of the earth have been called before him and they're to be divided, Jesus, acting as a shepherd, divides them as sheep and goats. Says to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. I don't like that description. It's described in Revelation chapter 20 and again in Revelation chapter 21 as a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 20 verse 14 says, and that's the second death. You don't want to experience that one. I don't like its description. It's described in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 3, as a bottomless pit. I don't like that. It's described in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 30, as a place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, just think about it. I don't know what hell is going to be like. Neither do you. Maybe Jesus is, in the context, the Bible is just describing hell for us in physical terms that we understand, that are the worst things imaginable. Think about it. He's just done it. The three things that every human being fears the most: burning to death. And here we burn and never burn up. The fear of falling. Any of you had one of those dreams lately? Where you just laying there and all of a sudden you feel yourself falling. You almost knock the house down. We fear falling. It's a bottomless pit. None of us like that. None of us enjoy that. None of us want to think about that. And then the fear of darkness. Outer darkness. I don't like the description of hell. Excuse me, I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. I don't like the description of it. I don't like who is there. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is there. I'm going to tell you, I have no affection for the devil. I have no affection for him. All it takes for me is to just read the book of Job and the first chapters and to see what that devil did to my brother Job, all because God had put a hedge around him. Took everything that he owned. Just because he hated him. Just because he hated his God. Took everything that he owned. Killed his 7 children. All because he hated God and he hated Job because he served that God. Caused him to have boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. All because he hated God and hated Job, who served God. I don't want to go to hell because I don't want to be there with a being like that. I don't like who's going to be there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, you have a list of those who are going to be cast into that lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't want to be there. I don't want to go to hell because I don't like its duration. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Eternal. That's the duration of it. Eternal. For the righteous. Everlasting fire for all those who go to hell. And I don't like it because of the fact that it has no exits. It's not like we're going to just serve for a period of time there and then it'd be, it's forever. It's forever. Again, in Revelation chapter 20, it says that the devil was cast into the lake of fire, and the beast and them that served with him were there also, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to experience that. I don't want to experience that. Number two, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian because I do want to go to heaven. Following the same line of thinking as we follow on the first point, follow it with me here. I like the description of this place. I like it. It's a place where there are no failures. There are no mistakes made. It's a place of perfection. It's a place where the tree of life is. And you can partake of it. It's on either side of the river, which flows out of the throne. And its leaves are for the healing of the nations. And you can partake of it and live forever. Place of perfection. Oh, I feel with a rather large degree of certainty that the language that is used is not meant to be literal, but it's meant for me to take as the most beautiful things that could happen, the things that people desire the most, would enjoy the most, and anticipate the most. And it's probably better than that. For instance, it talks about there being streets of gold. Well, I don't know. It seems to me like we're going to be spirits. Spirits have feet. I don't know. If it is, that's fine with me. I want to go there. I want to go there. No sickness. No death. God wipes away all tears from their eyes. I like the description of this place. I want to go there. I like who's going to be there. There's no need for sun or moon because Jesus is the light. There's no darkness there. There is none. We'll be in perfect fellowship with God the Father forever and forever. No gaps in it. In perfect fellowship with God the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. I like its duration. I do. Again, Matthew 25, 46. And these shall go away into everlasting destruction, but the righteous into life eternal. Eternal life. Life eternal. It's forever. It's forever. I think about what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Thessalonica as he wrote to them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he talks to them about the second coming of Christ. He said, you who are alive and remain. Well, let me start a little further. He said, we're not going to prevent them which have already died. We're not going to keep them from being raised from the dead. We're not going to prevent them. The Lord Jesus Christ will come with a shout, with the trump of the archangel, and with the voice of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, will be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ. We'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. But here's the phrase I like the best. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, how long is that? That's forever. I like the duration of this. And I like the fact that there are no exits. How long will it be? Forever. Forever. You won't want to leave. You won't want to depart. You won't want to say, I think I'll go on vacation somewhere outside of heaven. You're not going to want to do that. Ever. I want to go to heaven. That's the reason I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven because of God's love for me. The way He's manifested to me. Oh, I love John 3:16. It's probably one of the first verses, certainly, that I ever memorized as a child. I can't remember back that far. Because even little children memorize this one, don't they? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can take all those words in there and every one of them have meaning. But don't skip over that word so. Because it's a word of degree. It's a word of emphasis. It's telling you how much. I mean, you could. It'd still be the truth if you left it out, wouldn't it? For God loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. It'd still be the truth, wouldn't it? But folks, it's not. You don't feel the emphasis. For God so loved the world. But when we read that, it's easy to read it and say, yeah, God loved the world. And you forget that God loved you. And God loves me. Yeah, personally. Yes, personally. God loves me. Personally. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If I can remember what he said. He says, blank. Galatians 2:20. Many times I've quoted that. Galatians 2:20. You can quote it for me, can't you? Here we go. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Listen now. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You ready? Who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the one who persecuted the church. This is the one who would have done more and had every intention of doing it. This is the Apostle Paul who refers to himself in his letters to Timothy as the chief of sinners, because I persecuted the church. But I'm just an example. But God saved me, and He saved me as an example. What kind of example, Paul? If He can save me, He can save anybody. If He can love me, He can love anybody. God loves me. I want to go to heaven because of God's love for me. Fourthly, I want to go to heaven because of my love for God. You see, when you come to understand God's love for you, it's the kind of love that demands reciprocation. It demands that we love back. That we love Him back. do you suppose loves the most? Luke chapter 7. Who do you suppose loves most? He that is forgiven much or he that has forgiven little? How would you answer? Well, the Pharisee that Jesus was in the house of said, well, of course, he that is forgiven much. That's right. He that is forgiven much. You know, the struggle that we face is that we see ourselves as the ones who've been forgiven less. It didn't take much sacrifice for Jesus to save me. Come on. We know better than that. We know better than that. He has forgiven us much. And because of that, it's necessary. It's essential that we reciprocate that. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15, for the love of Christ constrains us. It compels us. It motivates us. It moves us. It's what makes us do what we do. Why do we do it? Why? We do what we want. People do what they want. Why? They wanted to. Why do I want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven because of God's love for me. And because, as Paul would say to the church at Ephesus, as he prayed for them in Ephesians chapter 3, that they might comprehend the height and breadth and depth and know the love of Christ, which is beyond comprehension. It'll motivate you. It'll move you. By the way, that's in the context of people getting along. That's in the context of Jew and Gentiles. How? You can't make that happen. You can't make a Jew like a Gentile and a Gentile like a Jew and the two become Christians and somehow be meshed together in one body and function together and work together, get along together. You can't do that. You're right, you can't. But unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, unto him be glory in the church. That's where it happens, isn't it? In the church, world throughout all ages, world without end. That's the context of that verse. That's the context of it. Jesus would say to his disciples just before his crucifixion in John chapter 14, verse number 15, as he's talking to them about the fact, I'm going to leave you. That's 14, 1 through 6, isn't it? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I go, right? I go. I'm going to be leaving you. I am. What's going to be for us to do? John 14, 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hey, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. People do what they want to do. They do what they want to do. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, just like night follows day and day follows night. If you love Christ, you'll keep his commandments. Just like night follows day and day follows night. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Later, there in John chapter 14, Jesus will say in verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I'll love him and I'll manifest myself to him. Look at it. He that keeps my command, hath my commandments and keeps them, is he that loves me. Is he that loves me. Two verses later, verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will. He'll keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Let that sink in now. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. They're not something that you'll regret ever doing. No, you'll always be glad you did. You'll always be glad you did. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a Christian because of God's love that He manifests for me. And I want to go to heaven because of my love for God. Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to be a Christian? Everybody has to answer for themselves. You say, well, I would be, but God doesn't want me to be. He sent His Son to die for you. Write that one off. Well, I would be, but I'm not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be good enough. Jesus said to a people, who were rejecting Him left and right in Matthew chapter 11, 28, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All ye. He didn't leave a one out. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. In me you'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. Come to me. Come to me. So we can write that one off. We can write that one off. It's not that the Spirit doesn't want you. Revelation chapter 22. The bride, the church, and the Spirit say come. All who thirst, come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. So you can write that one off. You can write, well, the church wouldn't want me. You can write that one off. Every excuse you can make, you can write off. Except the one you have to answer in your own heart. Do you want to be a Christian? Because people do what? People do what they want. People do what they want. Do you want to be a Christian? If you're here this morning and you're not, you can become one. We'll help you do that. Just like Byron has done this morning. He come with a heart full of faith, with an attitude of repentance, baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of every sin he's ever committed, raised now to walk a new life. You can do the same thing. You can become a Christian this morning. If you're here, you're a brother and sister in Christ, you've erred from the way, we'd welcome you back with open arms. Our Lord pleads with you to come home. Why not come? As together we stand and sing.
Number 772 should be on the slide, Harmon. Okay, if you'd like to get a book, number 772, the first verse. Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne. Why not, why not, why not come to Him now? Why not, why not, why not come to Him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Why not? Why not?
Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now?
You may be seated. Good job, Harmon. Thank you.
Well, as it's been said already, if you are a visitor this morning, we are glad you're here. We want to invite you to come back each and every opportunity that you have. We'd love to have you. In way of news this morning, if you would open up the bulletin and kind of look through with me. Sheila Riddle, she's here with us this morning, but her stent is still being put off for now. She did give me a card to read to everyone this morning. It says, thank you to Marshall family for all the calls and visits. Love and prayers. So that's appreciated. You know, she's been through quite a bit. Martha Walker has T-cell leukemia and treatment is going to be determined soon. Larry Adams, who's an elder at the downtown Morrilton congregation, he's recovering from surgery to remove a cancerous tumor from around his spine and having difficulties with walking and such. Overly Layton's brother also has a similar type issue going on, so we ask that you pray for him too. And of course, remember Chad Hunter as he is deployed right now. As it was mentioned earlier, Byron Sari was baptized this morning, so you want to welcome him. Do look at your extended sick list and keep those people in your prayers. Roby Cope, which is Cheryl Hancock's mother, passed away on Thursday. You know, we had announced that she was in hospice, so she has passed away now, so keep them in your prayers.
God's visitation this afternoon in Valonia from 1 to 3.
1 to 3 this afternoon in Valonia, visitation. And I was also asked to tell you that the family appreciates all the prayers and calls. Donuts for Dads. Everyone's invited next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Father's Day here at the building for donuts, coffee, and juice. Also, along the food thought here, barbecue, homemade pies, homemade ice cream. That will be after evening services on Sunday, July the 1st. Gospel gathering. Let's remember that. You can help advertise for that and let people know about it by grabbing a sign in the back and sticking it in your yard. Again, that's July 8th through the 13th at 7 o'clock each night at Robinson and Center. Also, keep in mind, remember our VBS. That's July 21st through the 24th. Also want to remind you that this afternoon, I know the bulletin says next Sunday, but that is today at 4 o'clock p.m. is the first men's business meeting that we're going to have. Again, want to encourage every man to please, if you're able, to try to be there for that. We're going to get some important things discussed and taken care of. So if you absolutely can, please come back for that here at the building at 4 o'clock today. As you know, this morning was the contribution for Crowley's Ridge College. This morning, $2,078 was donated for that. I wanted to let you know, too, that that will be left open for the next 2 weeks. So if there's anybody that would like to make additional contributions or someone who wasn't able to make a contribution this morning, whatever the case is, if you would like to give more to that, that will be open the next 2 weeks. Just give it to one of the men and we'll make sure that it gets to the correct place. I think that's all I have. Is there anything else that needs to be said this morning?
You've been one of our children for a long time, but now you're our brother who loves you. And that's right. That's right. Let's welcome our new brother in Christ. All right. We welcome you to our family, and we hope you find the light of Jesus shining in this place, walking hand in hand
We will serve the Lord, and together we will celebrate His mercy and His grace. This is home for the lonely. It's a tired of place of rest. It's a house of devotion to the dearest and the best. We welcome you to our family, and we hope you find the light of Jesus shining in this place.